Penguin Random House Audio presents Salmon, A Fish, the Earth, and the History of Their Common Fate. This is the author, Mark Kurlansky. This creature, known as man, is of course highly intelligent. He's capable of manufacturing almost anything from rumors to test tube babies, and yet he destroys two or three species every day. This is the absurdity of man. Gao Xingden, Soul Mountain. When we perceive and consider the existence, life, and activity of any natural creature, e.g. an animal, it stands before us. Everything zoology and zootomy teaches, notwithstanding, as an unfathomable mystery. But must nature then, from sheer obduracy, forever remain dumb to our questioning? Is nature not, as everything great is, open, communicative, and even naive? Can her failure to reply ever be for any other reason than that we have asked the wrong question? That our question has been based on false presuppositions? That it has even harbored a contradiction? Arthur Schopenhauer on the Suffering of the World. Prologue. A Tale of Two Fisheries. Men lower nets unconscious of the fact that they are desecrating a grave. Marion Moore, A Grave. I met Curtis Olson, known to everyone as Ole, on the docks in Dillingham, the rough-hewn port town for Bristol Bay, Alaska. In his mid-60s, he is a thick-set, short man with a red, weather-beaten face. He shouts like a man used to giving orders. You want to say he has a deep, booming voice, but actually, it is high-pitched, more like the insistent, rapid-fire rolling of a snare drum than the pounding of a kettle drum. Ole, like many people in Alaska, is not from there. He had been working hard outdoors all of his life, first on his family's dairy farm in Minnesota, and then in an even tougher but more lucrative trade as a sheep shearer in Montana. There are only a handful of shearers in the United States' Northern Rockies, and they travel from ranch to ranch, wrestling frightened animals that sometimes outweigh them to remove their thick coats of wool. There are sheep-shearing competitions, and Ole claimed to have been a national champion. In recent years, he had been a sheep auctioneer, which was probably how he developed his seemingly amplified voice. In 1981, he chanced across another way of earning money. The idea that quick money can be made from commercial fishing is very old-fashioned. But in Alaska, it is still sometimes true. Ole came up to Bristol Bay and crewed with a set netter for the 6-week sockeye salmon run. It was a modest income compared to shearing, but the run fell outside the shearing season, and he could see that if he owned his own boats and hired crews, he could make very good money in what was, for him, the off-season. "This is the greatest fishery in the world," he shouted during our first meeting. And it might be. It is certainly the greatest salmon run in the world. 30 million or more sockeye salmon enter Bristol Bay every July and race for the rivers and to their birthplaces, producing offspring and then dying. One of the wonders of nature. The season I went out with Ole, 2017, was a record year with 56.5 million sockeye running. 2018, with a run of 62.3 million, was even better. No one knows exactly why some years are so much better than others. In 2019, the strong run came in again. 55.7 million fish, but the unprecedented heat of the Alaska summer killed off an unknown number of salmon. Alaska may be getting too warm for salmon in the summer, which is their spawning season. A proposed gold and copper mine in the area, the Pebble Mine, poses a significant threat to the salmon run. The toxic tailings of chemicals and heavy metals would be permanently stored behind dams that, if they ever leaked, which has happened in other such mines, could destroy the salmon run. The mine, opposed by most of the locals as well as some elected leaders, has become an international cause célèbre. Tiffany, the elite jeweler, is among the active opponents. In 2003, we started to think that Pebble Mine was the mining controversy of all mining controversies, said former Tiffany CEO Michael Kowalski. Oli's view? They will never stop. The fight is never over. Our only hope is someday a better technology will be developed. Surely a profitable mine could develop a better plan for its waste than to store it behind an earthen dam in a seismically unstable area. In a good six-week run, Oli earns about $150,000 after paying off his crew of 10 Montana high school kids who have never been on a boat before. They work harder than they have ever worked, driven on by Oli's shouting, and after 6 weeks, they get a check for between $4,000 and $6,000. They could never have this much money in their pockets at one time in Montana. Some use it for a down payment on a house. But after 6 weeks of being shouted at during 12-hour shifts, rarely do any of them come back for a second season. Oli is always working with green recruits. I had met Oli the season before, and he seemed an affable man and invited me to come fishing with him. He picked me up in Dillingham in one of his 3 27-foot open-deck skiffs. The boat was filthy, slimed from fish with brown sludge sloshing around my boots. His orange fishing slickers were not any better, torn and covered in muck, fish scales stuck to them. Standing beside him at the helm, his hand on the tiller of the outboard engine propelling the light aluminum skiff, I saw a different Oli. With his shouting voice and wild eyes, he talked of the importance of Jesus Christ. Old friends said the religious streak was new. I began to think I had shipped out with Captain Ahab. While he did not have a peg leg, he could not move very well due to his joint replacements. He said he'd had 5 replacements, but I'm not sure which joints, since there are only 4 usual ones. He was in an ugly mood and cursing because one of his crews had set a net too close to shore and the tide had run out. So the net full of fish and the boat were lying on a sandbar, waiting for the tide to come back in. It was definitely a rookie mistake, but that is what you get when you hire rookies. He went to it and cursed out his young fishermen. Their net was full of salmon, but bending over it as it lay on the beach and picking out the fish was backbreaking work. Under Alaskan law, they were allowed 3 set nets of no more than 300 feet in length, each anchored on both ends with floats across the top lines and weights on the bottom. Large, bright buoys, bigger than beach balls, were attached to each end. With a run like this, the net was exploding. Every few seconds, another powerful fish rammed into the net, making it shake and splash. There are rollers amidships on both gunwales of the skiff, so that the net can be hauled into the boat. Still, with some 1,000 pounds of furiously thrashing sockeye, it takes several crew members considerable effort to haul up the net. It is spread across the 2 sides, and several crewmen stand on either side, pulling and untangling the fish from the net. It should take a skilled fisherman a few seconds for each fish, but it takes his crewmen several minutes to free one and flop it on the deck, where it gets kicked to the side and sometimes stepped on. Removing fish from any kind of gill net requires skill and is risky for even a veteran. If the scales get lodged in the fisherman's fingers, it causes dangerous infections that can lead to amputation. Oli is regularly checking himself into the hospital with infected fingers. These young men had never been to sea before, and most probably will never go again. Oli got 2 off the Cheyenne Reservation. 2 were Amish who had left their community. 1 high school graduate said he might go to sea again because he hoped to enlist in the Navy in the fall. Oli told one to haul in the line, and the crewman looked confused. "That rope, damn it, the rope!" He told one to get in the bow, and the crewman looked around the boat. I subtly pointed toward the front with an index finger, and the crewman sheepishly shuffled forward. But Oli saw me point and laughed. "These kids don't know anything." To help clarify matters, the stern was referred to as the ass end. When the regulators announce an opener,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?